Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's up, you guys? I'm B. Simone.
And I'm Megan Brooks.
And welcome to the Know For Sure podcast.
Do you know for sure?
Do you?
I'm pretty sure I know for sure, but this podcast is going to help us know.
Hey, you guys, it's V. Simone, Megan A. Brooks. Welcome back to the Know For Sure podcast, where we talk about healing, evolving, growing, all things purpose-driven. We are back. Are we going to do it or what?
Let's go.
We're back. Ooh! That's my acrylic on the mic. Y'all know that gets me excited. We are here with a very special guest today, y'all. I met her years ago. Megan actually is just getting to know her a little bit. I met her years ago. This is my first time ever meeting her in person. And she is on our podcast. She flew from New York to come on our platform. Jen Gottlieb is here, you guys. Give her some virtual claps.
Thank you, B. Yo. Hi, Megan.
We met on Clubhouse. You remember when Clubhouse used to be like the place to be?
The place.
We met on Clubhouse and for hours talking. We were in different rooms together. You brought me on your platform. I brought you on mine. You talked to my close friends about manifestation. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like your whole vibe and your, you know, your platform relates with our audience. Mm. So we wanted to bring you on the show.
When you asked me to be on this show, I was like, it was literally like a dream. I'm serious. Yeah. I've loved you from, it was so weird. Like the moment we connected on Clubhouse, it was just like, we vibed.
Yeah.
Because it was like the same vibe. And then when you did this podcast, I was so proud of you.
Yes, thank you.
And it was just like the truest, and you coming on too, I know you used to be behind the scenes. And for you guys to come together and actually make your conversations, your powerful conversations, public to people.
Yeah.
It's just like the ultimate form of service to people. And I was just so honored when you asked me. I was like, anytime I will get on an airplane and I will fly here for you.
Thank you. And that's so what we're talking about a little bit behind the scenes, that, you know, the conversations we were having in private, we wanted to have on our platform.
Yeah.
So that's what this is all about. So tell the audience a little bit about who you are if they don't know who Jen is.
So I'm a New Yorker. I'm from New York City. I'm an entrepreneur.
Okay.
I'm a former actress. So I used to be a performer just like you. And my whole life when I was a little kid, I always thought that I was going to be an actress. Mm-hmm. Like I went to school for musical theater. I dropped out of college and then I moved to New York City to study musical theater at this school called AMDA, the American Musical and Dramatic Academy. And I always thought, okay, I'm going to sing and dance on stage. I'm going to read other people's lines like this. I'm going to audition. I'm going to wait for people to pick me. And this is going to be my life. It's going to be my job because I knew that my purpose was to perform and to be on stage. Like that was what I really believed that God put me on this planet to do. But we were talking about this earlier, that sometimes what you envision is not exactly that, it. Yeah. And sometimes it's so much better than you could ever imagine. But the only way to get to that so much better is to try and fail and mess up and do stuff and maybe like go the wrong path or go the right path or, you know, and so throughout my journey, I ended up becoming an entrepreneur and then getting back on the stage again. So now a lot of my experience in life is performing on stages, but
in a different way.
In a different way. So now when I speak on stages, like a motivational speaker, and I teach content to people, I teach entrepreneurs how to be seen and how to be visible and how to create the lives and businesses that they want. I'm on stage now and I'm like, whoa, this is exactly what I envisioned
doing my whole life.
I was going to do when I was little, but it's not the traditional way.
Yeah.
Which is so cool.
So you wanted to dance or sing or?
Sing, dance, and act.
Got you. Me
yeah,
too.
I was in the Broadway National Tour of The Wedding Singer. Have you guys seen that movie? The Adam Sandler movie?
Great movie, classic.
Yeah. That was my first manifestation, which we can talk about. Yeah. But that was my dream role. And I traveled all over the country. I toured the country playing the role of Linda, who's the bitch that leaves him at the altar. And and it was my dream role. When I saw it on Broadway, I was like, I have to play that part one day. And I did. And then when I got back home, I got this heavy metal TV show that I was on for a while. And then my life came to a massive halt because I was severely out of alignment with, you know, everything because I was playing this part of this heavy metal chick that everybody started to know me as this heavy metal girl. I didn't like heavy metal music, like knew nothing about heavy metal music. Like, but I just fell into this weird, she's the metal girl thing. And that time was kind of dark.
So I will say, so tell us about that because you seem so different than a heavy metal. If y'all look at her and hear her talking, I'm like, heavy metal, what is that? What is that about? Tell us about that. You said you did that for 5 years?
Yeah. So, okay. So I was on the road with The Wedding Singer and I played this rock and roll character. So Linda, she was like, in the show, she's like this like Pat Benatar thing. And I came back and I was an actress. I was auditioning and I was brought in for this casting for this heavy metal rock and roll show. And the casting, you know all about this. You're an actress that said like sexy rock and roll girl. Mm-hmm. I was like, great. I just played sexy rock and roll girl for a year. I could go get this part.
Yeah.
I have to tell you how I got this part because it's actually really funny. I go into this audition. I'm in the waiting room with all these girls and all these girls are like real metal girls. Okay. I'm like fake metal girl. I like went to Bloomingdale's and bought like a fake like rock and roll shirt. You know, the ones that you buy, they're not real concert shirts. And these girls are sitting in the waiting room with all their piercings and their, you know, leg tattoos. And like, they're, I'm like, oh, crap, like intimidated. But I studied all my heavy metal because I'm like, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to pretend that
Wait,
I know.
So what made you want to do this if this wasn't who you were?
Because I was an actress.
Oh, okay.
And I needed a job.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I was going to play a character. I didn't really know what it was.
Got you.
I didn't know what it was going to turn into. I was like, oh, they want a sexy rock and roll chick. I was auditioning for so many things. So I go in, I'm like, all right, so the actress that the part I'm going to play is the heavy metal girl in this casting. So the night before, I Googled everything about every metal band in the world. I was like, I'm going to know about Black Sabbath. I'm going to know. I'm going to pretend I know all about this. Because I'm going to get this job. So I walk in. And they start asking me all these questions. And I'm like, yeah, I love Ozzy Osbourne. And it's actually on YouTube, my audition for the show, because we like made a video about it. It's really funny. And you can see how
I'm like, can we put a clip of that in post?
I can get it for you. Okay. It's hilarious. And on my resume, my acting resume, at the bottom of it, it says that I do a great Britney Spears impersonation, just as a joke. And I forgot that it said that. And so I'm in this casting with these producers and they're like, oh, you do a good Britney? Let's hear your Britney imitation. And I'm like, I thought this was supposed to be a heavy metal shit.
Okay, go. Let's hear it.
Yeah. Oh. So I sing.
No, I'm like, let's hear it.
Like now. Britney Spears. Okay, I'll do it for you. I only do it for very special people.
She's like, I'm ignoring you. I'm not doing it.
I will do it. But I want to tell you the end of the story. So this is how I actually eventually learned that like being yourself is what gets you what you want. Because, well, you know, me pretending to be heavy metal girl, when they called me and they told me that I got the job out of all those girls, they were like, it was your Britney Spears that did it because we thought we wanted, because we loved you. We wanted to hang out with you on set and we thought you were funny, not because I was the most metal.
Right, so that
was a reminder to me that the things that maybe you want to hide, you know what I mean, that make you, that make you special, that make you different, that maybe aren't the typical thing that you think people want are the things that make you stand out.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting this job that, yes, it was not who I was, but paid me a lot of money. It got me a lot of amazing opportunities. I had a great time for the most part doing this. And it was a big dot that connected me to a lot of other things in my life. And I wouldn't have gotten it if I didn't just like be myself in that audition room and throw away the faking being a metal girl and just sing like Britney Spears. So that was an interesting story.
Okay, so we usually pull, before we get too deep into that,
okay,
pull these cards, these questions. You want to pull?
No, you can have to pull.
Okay, you can pull.
Okay.
And it's just like an icebreaker.
Okay. What's an opinion you have that you rarely share? Are we all going to answer? Or is it just for me?
Ooh, we all supposed to answer, but I'm like, what? I rarely share it.
Yeah, I share a lot of stuff. An opinion that I have.
I don't really have one that I don't feel like.
I have tons, but none that I would say on camera.
That's what I'm saying.
That's like, what I was thinking.
I mean, I have tons, but.
That's what I'm like, rarely share.
In the climate that we're in, you have to be very intentional about the things that you say, even if it is your opinion.
For sure.
Because you have to just, you know, be watchful about how it. And people are hurt by words. And so even if that's not your intent, you know, you have to just be mindful. I feel like people are very loose with their opinion. Everybody has an opinion and everybody has an opportunity to share their opinion.
Yeah.
And so you have to be mindful about it. Even if it's an opinion that you stand on and you believe and whatever, you'll go to the death of it. There's a time and place for everything.
So. Or how you present it.
I would never... The internet will never know 100% of who I am or what I think. It's just not, it's not for everyone.
Yeah, that's right.
There are some opinions that should be shared intimately.
Yeah.
And then there are some opinions that should be shared publicly.
Yeah.
So for me, I mean, I can give a surface one.
I'm trying to think.
I know. Like, I can't even think of something that I would want to say.
Because after she said all that, I'm like, I'm not saying that.
I don't say this is an opinion, but I know that this was a topic in social media that was popular or like it was kind of going around a lot. But I do have an opinion. I won't say which way I stand on.
Like that?
But Chris Brown is a better entertainer than Michael Jackson. I'll say that in my opinion.
Oh, that's in your my opinion. Oh, okay.
But I can argue that why, but that's my opinion.
Oh, okay.
Impact, no. As a
performer.
As an artist and performer, yes. Impact, no. There's nobody that has a greater impact than Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Beyonce, maybe. Right there.
Yeah. She's
like neck and neck.
Yeah. When I saw her in concert, I've seen her in concert one time, and I was like, this is the closest I've ever seen to Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Ever.
I cried I cried all concerts, but same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's a That's really a good one.
What's yours?
I mean, I would.
I don't think I have one.
I don't know.
I
think we all have tons. It's just hard to say.
I gotta like get on a topic and then give my opinion on the topic.
That was a good one, though.
That was really good.
Yeah, but I think people can argue that. Like, I think a lot of people.
Oh yeah, I mean, people will be upset about that.
I would argue that.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm not upset about it.
Oh, because you believe that. Michael is a better performer.
Yes.
Than,
yes.
See, I don't. But impact.
I think a lot of people will agree with that.
Yeah. Impact. Yes, for sure.
I love disagreeing with people. I love conversations like this, and I love talking about MJ because I'm the biggest MJ fan in the world. And that's why I love that you just brought that up. I was like, how does she know? Does she know? Wait, is she just trying to stir my pot? Because the reason I sing and dance
is of him.
Is because of Michael Jackson,
and that's the reason why Chris Brown does. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I just feel like there's nothing wrong with that energy, right, that Michael Jackson possessed, right? The purpose of it is to take it and make it and make
better.
It bigger.
Yeah.
And I feel like why can't we have better? You know what I mean? Why can't Chris Brown should be better than Michael Jackson? We have more available. We have more like there's more, it's grown. The art has grown. It's expanded. So he should be better.
Mm-hmm.
Why should we just keep that's it. You can never be better than that.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
I totally get it.
Because then you put a seal on it.
That's
then you put a cap on it. Why we should be saying Chris Brown is better. We should be saying he's a better entertainer because he should be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's hard to argue that, but it should be that way.
I like that you said impact, no. Talent, yes. But you're 100% right because the athletes keep getting better. So people say like Michael Jordan's the greatest, you know, basketball player of all time, but I think you could argue now that there should be better basketball players
absolutely.
Because now they have better training. They, you know, have better access to different coaches and trainers and, you know,
things. And there's people no way to tell the impact until that person is gone. Mm-hmm. We don't know how great Chris Brown is until, you know, until he's not here anymore. Mm-hmm. Then we're, then, because once that thing is gone, then it's missing.
And Chris Brown may have, I don't even think he's hit the ceiling. Like, he hasn't created his greatest pieces yet.
I don't, we don't even, we don't, you know,
we don't even know.
Yeah. We don't know. But
that's funny that you just brought that up.
She's like, did you Google that I loved Michael Jackson?
Yeah. Seriously. But yeah, Chris, my fiance is going to laugh so hard when he listens to this. Because the one thing, it's because this is about an opinion, the one thing that I get very, like, passionate about is Michael Jackson.
She's like, now this whole thing is turned. This is not about anything else, but
this podcast is about Michael Jackson.
She's like, fuck the rock metal story. Let's talk about Michael.
No, like, he is the greatest. I will say that. We kept Michael Jackson playing in our house. Like, I have a video of my youngest child with a wig on, his shirt opened.
Literally,
and he's like four, and he loves Michael Jackson. So, all respect. Okay. Love Michael Jackson.
She said, okay.
We can be friends.
That is hilarious. Okay, let's do one more.
Okay. This is a good conversation starter. When you dream of your future, what are the first three things you see? Okay. This is good because this will take us on the topic that we're going to talk about, manifesting. Okay. So for me, you know, what I love most in the entire world is helping people from stage. So I want to be the greatest motivational speaker in the world.
You do?
I do.
Okay. Wow.
I do.
Wow.
I'm going to speak it into the universe, speak it into existence because I believe that we all should do that for whatever it is that we want.
Yeah.
I just immediately saw Chris, so I'm engaged. My fiance, he's also my business partner. So it's just a life with him, and speaking all over and having global impact. I want to help people.
Yeah.
I want to help people see what they can't see.
Yeah,
and become the best, you know, most fulfilled or highest potential of themselves.
Lit.
If that made it, you know, makes sense. Yay. How about you?
So let me see. Mm-hmm. When you dream of your future, what are the first three things you see? I guess one of them would be, I was talking to Megan and the team about this the other day. Like, this has been, I say that a lot. This has been the most purposeful thing I feel like I've done in my career. So this, like, propelling forward and opening up more doors in my purpose, like what I feel like I'm supposed to do. Like you said, you're like, I always saw myself on stage. I always talked and been funny and this and that, but a podcast this is modern day radio, but like, I never wanted to do that. But this is like, I feel like the most impactful thing I've done. So, you know, this like going to the highest level it can go, whatever that looks like. Love one day, hopefully a family and, you know, just healthy relationships. And, you know, I always say internal peace, like just peace and, you know, happiness. So those three things, like a family, peace and happiness in all my relationships in my life. And then this.
So it is.
Yeah. You're three.
I don't know if I have three, but I would say overall. What do I see for myself?
I know.
Definitely, I like what you said as far as a global impact. I definitely feel like our platform has that potential to have a global impact because no matter where you go, we're all feeling the same stuff. Mm-hmm. We're all trying to search for that same thing as far as peace, regardless if people really know what they're searching for or not. We're all really searching for peace.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think if I'm being honest, that's all. I'll say this. God protects me from stuff like that, from showing me what is ahead because I can be in my way.
Yeah.
Mm. And so I'm really good at believing for other people. But when it comes to myself, I'll figure out all the ways that it can't happen. Mm. So God shields me from that, from myself.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for it because I don't want to be in the way. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, if you don't want to show me, don't show me. because I don't want to be in the way of it. Yeah. But when it comes to, I mean, like I have a overall with the podcast I can see. Mm-hmm. So that would be like the major thing that I would point to.
Dope. So we're going to get into not why she's here, but like her thing is manifesting. You know, we do that and I do that and we all believe in that. To me, and we did an interview. Remember, what interview was that? They asked us like, Bree. Mm. Asking if, you know, because we're very spiritual people. And Bree asked us, I think people were asking, like, is manifesting, I don't know your religion or your spiritual background or what you are, but is manifesting like not of God or something? And to me, manifesting is just faith without works is dead. It's literally like just having faith, believing, speaking with your mouth, and saying it and believing it and working towards it, mm-hmm. you know? So my manifestation journey started from like the, what's the thing called? The Secret, mm-hmm. the Law of Attraction. Yep. That's like what opened up my mind to that.
Yep.
But how did your journey start? And I want you to tell us a little bit about like your history of manifesting.
Okay. So it's so funny that you said The Secret, because that's exactly how I was introduced to it.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe that God is totally incorporated into this whole thing, by the way. And we can talk about that later for sure. But so I was, when I was in that theater school, mm-hmm. so I was in the American Musical Dramatic Academy in New York City. I dropped out of college. I was living in like this 8-foot by 8-foot little tiny dorm room in New York and running around like, oh my God, I'm in New York City, yay! Mm-hmm. And went to go see the show on Broadway, The Wedding Singer, with my friend. And, you know, we had no money. We were like sitting in the nosebleed section and we're sitting there seeing the show. And then all of a sudden this character comes out on stage of Linda, and there's like a smoke machine and she's hilarious. And she does this whole funny song. And it was literally like God came down to me in that moment and like touched me and said, that is you.
Literally. Yeah.
Like you ever have one of those moments where you're just like, this is, oh my God, yeah. I have tears. It was a funny song. My friend's looking at me. He's like, what's wrong with you?
Why are you crying?
Yeah, like, what is wrong? And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, wow. I have to be this part. I'm going to play her one day.
How
I just
old are
knew.
You?
20.
Oh, okay. You were older. Not older, but I didn't know this was your childhood. Okay.
No, wasn't childhood. It was when I moved to New York to kind of start my career and, like, be in school. And I was learning how to sing and dance. And, like, this was, you know, but there was no – I'd never auditioned for Broadway before. Okay. There was no shot in the world that I would be her on Broadway. It was this actress named Felicia Finley, and she just blew my mind. And I saw myself playing the role. So during that time, my mom had given me this book, The Secret. Mm-hmm. And my mom is like a Reiki master and like really into spirituality. And at that time I was like, Mom, this woo-woo, I can't. I was not into the woo because I was like, not it. And I was like, I'll just read this book because everyone's talking about this book. Mm-hmm. So I start reading this book. And then I saw Oprah on TV talking about how she was able to manifest her role in The Color Purple by using The Secret. And I was like, all right, if it works for Oprah and she could manifest a role, I'm going to try.
Yeah,
I'm going to do an experiment. So I decided, I was like, let's experiment if this really works. Mm-hmm. I'm going to manifest becoming Linda in The Wedding Singer. Mm-hmm. I had never been to a Broadway audition before in my life. I had never, you know, there was no shot in hell. It's like, let's see if this works. So what the book tells you to do is to visualize yourself doing the thing you want to do. So every night before I went to bed, I would close my eyes and I would visualize myself on the stage in the costume with the lights on my body. And I would like sing the songs as I fell asleep every night. Mm. And I would just like see myself. I would hear the audience and I would like really like it soothed
like act
me.
Like it was the real moment.
It was like watching a movie in my mind. Yeah. And like I started to feel it. And this is how this taught me how to do this, because and I didn't know, like, by the way, I'm not an expert in this. This is just my truth.
Yeah.
You know, this is just your experience.
Yeah.
And I would like hear the audience. It would get so clear. And every night I would do it, it would get better.
Yeah.
And I'd get better at it. I'm like, this is fun.
Yeah.
So then before I knew it, I started going to schools, telling everyone I was going to be Linda and the Wedding Singer, right? Because when you start to trick your subconscious mind to believe that something happened by playing a memory in your brain, like it doesn't know the difference between a real memory and a fake one.
Oh, so I
started to kind of believe that this was my reality. And so I would sing the Wedding Singer songs as my performances for school. Mm. And so when I was singing them for school, I would envision that I was auditioning for Broadway when I was doing it. Mm-hmm. And like, I was just playing this whole game with myself. And the way that I believe that the law of attraction works is not necessarily like it's magical, like it like magically brings stuff to you, but it does trick your subconscious to believe that that thing is yours. So it makes the fear of taking action to get that thing a lot less.
Go away.
Because your subconscious is like, oh, I did that already. Yeah. That's mine. So when the auditions came, I was like, here we go. Let's go. Right? I like, it's like neon lights pointing right at the opportunity.
Yeah.
So it makes the opportunity brighter and it makes the fear less. So without going into the whole detail of how it, I got rejected a lot for this. This did not happen easy. Like I auditioned.
You constantly auditioned for that role?
Oh. Yes. I went to that first one.
I thought the story was going to be like, I auditioned and I got it.
No, it wouldn't be that fun if it was it. The story wouldn't be that great if I just got it when I auditioned. But I went in and it was my first audition ever. I was like one out of 500 girls. Mm-hmm. And I went in and I got to the final two. And it was like me and this other girl.
Damn.
We were like battling it out. She would like go in and then I'd go in and then she'd go in. And I, oh my God, she was so good. And I was, you know, that feeling where it's like, oh, she's so much, you know, like fear. And,
yeah.
But that weird thing that I had solidified in the back of my brain kept me going.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I didn't get it. She did. Mm. She got the part. And I was like, you know what? It's just not right now. It's not a no, it's just not right now. And I believe that from all of the believing and the visualization that I did. So then I had to get, and I always tell people the biggest part of the secret that's missing is the action piece. And I love that you said this at the beginning of the interview.
You're saying the work that goes into it.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't just visualize things and think about them all day and imagine them to happen. You have to take action.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time the action is like uncomfortable, scary action.
Yeah.
Right? So I had to go to this. I saw this audition for this other show called Footloose, you know, the Footloose movie. And I saw that the director that was casting it was one that was doing the Wedding Singer National Tour as well. So I was like, I'm going to sneak into this Footloose audition right now in my Linda costume that I created. And I'm going to sing the Wedding Singer music to this director.
God.
Okay. This is, you want to talk about cancellation.com. Like I could have got canceled like from, you know, musical theater world, but I was taking a risk.
That was technically like disrespectful or something.
It was just like something you don't do.
You know
what I mean? Like it could have worked not in my favor. Yeah. It wasn't necessarily disrespectful. It was like, people don't do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I go in and I do it. And the director actually came out after I sang and he looked at me and he's like, you, come here. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm in so much trouble. Like I was like, I just ruined my entire career. And he's like, here's my card. We're not casting Wedding Singer right now, but I want you to keep in touch with me. And when we do, I'm going to bring you back in. Mm. And I was like,
yep.
I have like the golden ticket of life. And so I emailed that guy like every single week for like 6 months. He never responded to me. I was just like, hey, how are you? I'm doing great. You know, like just emailing no one. But I was so hungry for this because I had believed that it was mine.
Yeah.
You know, so I kept going even when it was scary or uncomfortable or weird. When most people would have stopped, I didn't stop.
Yeah.
Finally, I go back in again and again and again. I get cast as the understudy.
What's that?
The understudy.
Like the backup.
The backup. Oh. I didn't get it. So I get this email in my inbox saying, congratulations, Jennifer. We want to welcome you into the Broadway National Tour of The Wedding Singer. Role ensemble / Linda understudy.
So like if she breaks her leg.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So I basically had to spend the first, you know, couple months of the show watching somebody else play my part that I secretly knew. Like, that's my part.
It's like, I basically had to spend a couple months of the show trying to trip this bitch.
Pretty much. Pretty much. So,
anyway. Spike her drink.
I was very respectful, but I knew, and I believe that luck is when preparation meets opportunity. Mm-hmm. I was so prepared, and I was ready for my opportunity. So the moment that opportunity came, I knew I was going to crush it. Mm-hmm. And finally, it came. And that same director, before we went on the road for the big tour, like we put up the show for 2 months in Florida and in Pennsylvania, and then we were going to go with the big Broadway sets and the big Broadway costumes and everything and tour the country. He calls me. He's like, he knew how badly I wanted it. He's like, we're switching things around and you're going to be Linda.
What? Wow.
And you guys, this is when I believed in the law of attraction. I know this is kind of a long story, but it's so important because this is where it all made sense to me.
How long was this though?
It was like a year.
Okay.
When I played Linda on the stage for the first time, the theater, the audience, the lights, the costume was the same costume that Felicia Finley wore that I watched. The sight that I saw was exactly
identical,
the same.
Yeah.
As what I visualized.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was sitting in my twin bed, just like daydreaming about
yeah.
it. And I remember I walked backstage and I like collapsed on the floor. I was like,
this is crazy.
It worked.
Yeah.
Anything that I want to can create.
Yeah.
Which was so wild to me.
I believe in that 100%. I believe in that.
That was the first experience. And then I kept doing, you know, and sometimes you forget that it works and you sabotage yourself. And, you know, I got lost along the way and I forgot that I could manifest things. And I, you know, the whole heavy metal thing happened. My, you know, a lot of my life took a turn for the worst for a little bit.
Yeah.
But then I had to remind myself, oh, you have this power. You can do this. It's not necessarily a power that I have that's different than anybody else. It's just like, why don't you tap into this again? And then I started doing it again. You know, it's an ebb and flow of, I would say kind of you, I love that you said like, or I'll mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
We all have this thing Wait, inside of us.
Said what?
Remember you said.
I said, God doesn't show me certain things about myself because I'll get in the way.
You, that's right. You. So sometimes we do get in the way, right? Mm-hmm. Like when things get too good, sometimes we just stop or we like subconsciously self-sabotage ourselves, yeah. right? To bring ourselves back down to where we feel a little bit more comfortable or whatever. We create drama for no reason at all. I do it all the time. But then it's just about checking yourself and being like, oh, wait, you can do this, and remembering moments like that.
Yeah.
So like even this conversation is so powerful of me remembering that I did that.
Yeah.
You know, so like what's next?
Yeah.
We can all do that.
Yeah.
Because if you did it once, you can do it again.
That's right.
Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
I think the biggest takeaway from that too is just being patient in it and not expecting it to come like. Just focus on believing it and not focus on how is it going to come? Mm-hmm. When's it going to come? What's it going to look like? How's it going to show up? Who's going to do it? Who's going to help me? Who? I feel like we get so caught up in those things. So then our focus can't be on what we want. It's all the other, how we're going to get what we want. And that's really not important. The important thing is, is that you see it and then you do everything that you can to push yourself in that direction.
Yeah.
And if it starts to not push you in that direction, stop doing that and go into something that pushes you in that direction, but just keep moving towards what you see.
I love
and
that.
Not blocking yourself by like, oh, well, I don't really want it to look like that.
Yeah.
And I don't really want it to. No, I don't like the box that came in and I don't really like that
or
ribbon and I don't like how they sent it and how it. That doesn't matter.
That's right.
It matters that it comes.
And then and so they say this or something better.
Yeah.
Like, so I want this or something different that the universe has in store for me that I don't even know. But if you focus on the how and try to manipulate the how, like what you just said, and like plan it out exactly how you think it's never going to be that way.
Yeah.
But it could be even better.
Yeah.
If you just let it allow it to play out. Like even we were talking about this earlier, our relationship. Like I thought Clubhouse was for me to build this huge audience and like be like a
Same. We were like, we're gonna be the queens of Clubhouse. Let's start these rooms.
That's right. But really the
you
gift
got relationships
was
out of it.
An amazing relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you feel like people mess up when they manifest? Like what is like the I mean I guess Megan kind of said that too. Like the worrying about the all the pieces, you know, but what's like the, how do people mess up when it comes to manifesting?
There's two things that I think people get wrong here. And one of them we already touched on is that people think that they can just put something on a vision board and think about it and it magically appears.
Yeah.
And that's why I think manifesting or the law of attraction gets a bad name.
Yeah.
Because that's not how it works.
And
like
you have to be specific. Like there was stuff on my vision board that I was like, well, that happened. Like, I was like trending. Yep. I was trending. All right. I was canceled for a year.
Oh, right. Right.
Like positive trending, like be specific when you manifest.
You have to be specific for sure. But at the same time, like if you don't take action to get that thing, like if you don't, the way that it works is it allows you to take action. It allows you to see the opportunities. And even if you don't realize that you're taking action, you subconsciously are, because the thing that's really driving the bus is our subconscious mind. You guys ever wonder how, like, sometimes you drive all the way home and you have no idea how you got there?
Yeah.
Right? Because your subconscious was driving the car. So our subconscious is the thing that's really making our decisions. And, like, so our beliefs are deep inside of our subconscious and our beliefs run the show. And when you can start to change your beliefs by implanting memories in your brain as if something already existed, then your actions, your subconscious is going to drive the bus to get those things.
You're saying so you're subconsciously making decisions to get there.
That's exactly right.
Got you.
So you're taking action. But the other thing that people do wrong when they manifest is they're like, I want this thing. I desire, I want it. I want it so bad. I want to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Now, the way that I've learned that the universe works, and I've learned this just through my experience, is that like attracts like. So when you're in a positive, like when it rains, it pours, right? Positivity and negativity.
Yeah.
So, right, when everything's great and you're in a positive mood, you attract more positive things to you.
Yeah.
When you're in a negative mood, oh shit, when it rains, it pours. Like yeah. It's going to start pouring bad stuff everywhere. Mm. That's because the law of attraction, the law of the universe is, you know, one energy will attract another energy to it.
Yeah.
So if you're in a place of wanting something so bad, you know, you ever notice like if someone's desperate for you, like even in dating, you're like, ugh, get away from me.
Mm-hmm.
It repels that thing because the thing that you're going to attract, the energy that you're going to attract to you is one of want and desire, which is actually when you want and desire something, you're in lack. Mm. Oh. So instead of saying, I want it, I desire it.
I have it.
I'm so grateful I have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I already have it.
Yeah.
It's here.
Yeah.
Because we have everything that we want inside of us.
Yeah.
It's already here.
Yeah.
It's in existence. And if we walk around the earth like, I am so grateful I have the best life ever,
mm-hmm.
we're just going to attract people and things and energy to us that matches that energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is, I'm so grateful I have the best life. Like, that's how it works.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. just like the affirmations that I do. Like, I'm blessed. I'm healed. I am. Not yeah. I want to have a blessing or I want to be healed or I want, you know, you say it as if it's in real time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gratitude gets you there too. The fastest way to get into that place of really feeling like you already have something is being grateful for it. And so for years, I still do it. It's called a future gratitude practice. So it's like being grateful for things that haven't necessarily happened yet as if
yeah.
they did.
Mm-hmm.
So before I met Chris, every single day, I would be like, I'm so grateful I met the love of my life today.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm so grateful I met him. I'm so grateful he's here. I love yeah. him so much. You know, and
I've been trying that for years.
Mm-hmm. It's coming. Like, Jesus.
Don't manipulate it.
I know.
Okay. He's on the way.
Okay,
he's on the way.
Then, Jesus. Well, tell us how you got your husband in.
Okay.
Because I'm over here. I thought I manifested. Well, I actually did. Now looking back.
All right, guys, before we continue on with this episode, just a quick announcement. Black representation in media is super important to our community as it promotes diversity, challenges stereotypes, and allows for more authentic storytelling. It helps foster a sense of belonging and can positively impact societal perceptions and breaking down biases. Tabitha Brown, Ava DuVernay, Viola Davis, Issa Rae all have made significant contributions to film, television, and media, paving the way for more diversity and inclusion. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories and Black truths. I recently listened to an episode entitled A Taste of Freedom. This episode talks about Juneteenth and the day that the enslaved Texans found out more than 2 years after Emancipation Day that they were free. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast that center Black voices. It's NPR's Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices that are varied, nuanced, and Black. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. All right, guys, back to the show.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I did manifest my ex. Like, and it's crazy because what he has a tattoo? He has a tattoo of a quote that's on my vision board. Did I tell you that?
No. Yeah.
It's on his arm and it's on my vision board. I was like, wow, like that's manifestation.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Because I was like, I'm going to have a boyfriend this year and I'm going to, you know, and it happened, but it just wasn't the one.
Yeah. But he's going to lead you to the one.
Yeah.
For sure.
What's next?
I think when I think about manifestation, I talked about it a little bit, I think, on that seminar, the webinar you did for close friends. Mm-hmm. I think Jen was on it.
Oh, you were on that one. Yeah, yeah.
But for me, there's a scripture that says that God will give us the desires of our hearts. And I feel like a lot of people look at that scripture and think like, oh, anything I want, he'll give me those things. And for me, I always interpret it as he'll place desires in our hearts. Like he will give you those desires. And I think that whatever those desires that you truly, deeply, deeply feel, those are the things that we should be trying to manifest. And I think that a lot of times and there's nothing wrong with, and we talked about this on the thing, there's nothing wrong with saying, I want the car of my dreams. Yeah. I want the love of my life. I want the career that I've always wanted. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But I think we don't focus a lot on those, like really the things that God really has placed like deeply within us. Like, you know what I mean? Those desires that like we really, really, truly, deeply want.
What's one for you?
I think, man, probably like peace of mind is like my biggest thing. It's like having like a peaceful mind.
Yeah.
And like a deep, deep desire to impact people. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's not the right way to say it. Not to impact people, but to specifically
have a positive impact.
Well, yeah, but to specifically have a like pointer to who God is. Like I want people to know that they can have a relationship with God. That's like my biggest desire. Yeah. Like out of anything, I want you to know that it can happen. Like that is a real thing that can exist for you.
Yeah.
And that your journey is very specific. Like your experience is very specific. And there's a very specific blueprint for you.
Yeah. Mm.
And the only way to get that is through God. Like that's my biggest desire is to like, you can get out of this dark space. You can get out of that. Yeah. Like you can really have peace and know who God is. Like that's my biggest desire. So I think that has been always the thing that has led me in every direction of my life. I've been able to do that in everything that I've been able to do. Like every career I've ever had, I've been able to do that in some way. So
in your relationships, I said that the other day, I was like, I think I've not subconsciously, I didn't like go get baptized or go to the altar or go to a church, but I regave my life to Christ because of her. Like her relationship with God changed my relationship with God. Like that impact that she's had. And it wasn't like she was pulling out the Bible every day, showing me the Bible, Bible thumping, read this scripture, go to church, do this. It was the way she acted and the way she talked and the way she moved and maneuvered through life and dark spaces. And she showed me God through her. And I think that's what I want to do. Just show by the way you are.
Yeah.
The way you are.
Like the way you live your life.
Yeah. I do not have to open up the Bible. I don't know scripture like Megan knows scripture. Megan can quote the Bible. I don't know the word of God like maybe I should, and I can get better at that. But just the way I treat people, the way you walk, people should see a light in you.
Yeah. I think that's important.
Naturally.
But I think that part of manifestation is so important. Those deep things. The things that really, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, I want to have a global impact, that thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All the other stuff, that'll come.
Because that'll
that's important. I'm not saying don't do that. Manifest all that stuff. It's going to come.
Yeah.
But when you really focus and hone in and laser in on those deep things, I want to have a global impact.
Yeah.
I want to show people that they can get on stage and they can do whatever they want to do. Or they can, you know, move a crowd. Or they can do this or do whatever. That global impact, like, that's major. And I feel like we don't focus a lot on, like, those deep, deep, deep things that we want to see happen in our lives.
Yeah. The materialistic things are just the cherry on top. I say that all the time.
It's like a bonus.
Yes,
a bonus.
I want a $1 million Yeah. Multi-million dollar house. Mm-hmm. Yes, I want, this is going to be a billion dollar podcast. Yet all of that. Yes, I want a life of luxury and convenience. Mm-hmm. Yes, I mm-hmm. do.
Well, like, here's the thing. The more that you have a life of luxury and convenience, the more that you can create your impact.
Right.
The easier you can create your impact. And, right. So it goes with it.
Yeah, it goes and I'm saying that's going to come though.
That's
I don't
right.
think that that's not going to happen either. Like, but when I get that mansion, I want to be
happy,
peaceful.
Peace, right. I want to be at peace. Oh,
it doesn't even matter. If you're not peaceful and you have a mansion, the mansion doesn't matter.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. I think that's my point. I think a lot of times we think we want all these things and you're not like, oh, I want a million followers on Instagram and I want to be trending and I want to have the luxury car and bags and da, 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 da. And then you get those things and then what?
Miserable.
Then what? You're miserable, miserable because you skip the thing that you the desire that God truly placed in your heart. You skipped all of that.
Yeah.
And now you got all the things that you thought on the surface you wanted. And then what?
Yeah.
Those don't
you're
fill
empty.
The void.
Yeah. They're empty.
They don't fill it.
Yeah. And it's not going to help. Wherever we going after this, you can't take that stuff with you. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like it ends up being wasteful. And not that those things can't come, but you just have to focus on the true
thing.
Yeah,
that you
like
need.
The thing that really, really, really matters. Yeah. And then I believe everything else comes with
everything
it.
Everything else. Or you can enjoy everything else.
Yeah.
1,000%. Uh-huh. I feel like that's like when you're in the pocket. Like I like to call it in the pocket. Like in the pocket is like you're following your bliss, like that real, what you said, like that real thing that's your real purpose that you really desire, that deep thing. When you're on that, in alignment with that, all the other stuff comes. Mm-hmm. And then the other stuff is just, you can receive it so much more and you can really like actually use it for good.
Yeah.
But when you're not in that and the other stuff starts to come, you're like, what do I even need this stuff for? And that's that creates a really empty life.
And you too, Megan, what do y'all feel like is one of the first steps for people to find that? Because I went back to Dallas and I talked to my sister, we were talking about healing and stuff, and she asked me, she was like, well, what do you do, what's the first step? And my advice, not even advice, my truth to her was, for me, I was like, I'm still finding mine, but I'm just trying shit.
Yes.
Like, you have to literally try different things over and over. And then, like we said on the other episode, take inventory of how you feel. If you feel good after you try journaling, journaling might not work for you. Grounding might not work. Going to the park, that might not work for you. But if you feel different after it and you take inventory of that, you try to do that thing over and over. What would be your... not advice, but your experience of how to tell somebody, like, what would be the first steps to finding that peace, that joy, that inner healing?
Doing exactly what you just said. Doing, but I also like to connect the dots looking backwards, and I like to reflect a lot on my life. And I think, what's the thing, and we all have this thing, the thing that you think about when you're doing that thing, you get emotional. Or like when you think about doing that thing, you get emotional. Like for me, like if you were to talk to me about like, how much do you love performing? I'm like, oh, I get emotional when I talk about Michael Jackson. But you know, like, and you think about a moment in your life where you were the most in the pocket. Like, can you think about like one moment where you're just like, this is everything. Like, I feel so like I'm serving the world right now. I'm serving my purpose. Mm-hmm. I feel good. I'm like, I'm in it. And it could be the littlest moment. It doesn't have to be a major mega moment. It could be a moment with Megan, just like having a connection with a friend. Mm-hmm. Like, think back to those times and like, maybe you can write down like three of them. What were you doing? Where were you? What were you experiencing? What did you do leading up to it? And then do more of that.
Yeah,
and you're not going to figure it out on the first try.
Yeah,
and you are always going to be figuring it out. I also don't believe that we only have one purpose. I don't believe that we only have one passion. Like, people are like, find your purpose, find your passion and only do that. I'm like, that's
it can be
always,
multiple, and it can change.
It can change.
Chapters. Yeah,
we change, we evolve. And you might not even realize that your purpose right now is leading you to an even bigger one later. And you just got to keep doing that in order to get there. So. Yeah. You're never going to think your way into anything.
Yeah.
And that's why I love you guys so much. I mean, I love you so much for so many reasons, but you're like, we're just going to do this. We're going to do it until we figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's how you created everything, right? Like, you take action, you're doers.
Yeah.
And I believe that the way to find what you want and how you impact the most people and your real desires is by taking action relentlessly.
Yeah.
Messy, with fear.
Yeah.
Imperfectly.
Yeah. I think it's all of that and not having an understanding that it's not easy. Right. I think people think that it's healing is like the hardest, it's the hardest thing in the world. And it also never stops.
I would say it's constant.
It's just a constant thing. And I think as you go on your journey, like for me personally, I've just been able to develop practices.
Yeah.
And I just keep adding to those practices. And then we were talking about this this weekend. I was like, this season that I'm walking into in my life, I feel very unprepared, but I feel very equipped. Because I don't know what's ahead mm-hmm. of me. I don't know what battles are waiting for me. Mm-hmm. But I do know that in every battle I've faced thus far, I've picked up a weapon. I've collected mm-hmm. tools. I've collected mm-hmm. things to arm and protect myself from what's ahead.
The next battle.
And so I may not be prepared, but I am equipped for it.
That's
and
beautiful.
I believe that you have to just, like she said, take inventory, but also collect your weapons. All right, I went through that and I survived and I got all the weapons. I slayed all of them motherfuckers and I got all the weapons from it. Yes. You know what I'm saying? I took all their weapons and now the next battle I fight, I got all my weapons and then I'm gonna kill all of them and then I'm gonna take their weapons. And every time I'm just arming myself more and more doesn't mean that the battle I face isn't gonna be hard, but I'm equipped to protect myself. I'm equipped to make sure I don't die in that field. So it don't matter. Anywhere I go, I know I'm not gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna fight and I'm gonna have I'm gonna have the tools and the weapons to armor myself, to protect myself in that battle. And I believe that we have to be intentional about knowing that it's not going to be easy.
Yeah. Yes.
And it doesn't stop. And there's no end point. You just have to keep collecting, keep taking inventory, keep collecting those weapons, and keep fighting through it.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's like when you get your heart broke. Like, the first one, if you be like...
Yeah, it sucks.
I'm about to throw up. I'm gonna die, like literally physically sick. And then, I mean, obviously heartbreak is still, it's hard, but you get over it a little quicker, you understand a little more, it doesn't hurt as bad because you know, like you went through it.
And that's like, people ask me about confidence a lot, like how do you become more confident? It's exactly what you guys just said.
Mm-hmm.
It's by sticking with hard commitments that you make with yourself
mm-hmm.
and getting to the other side and realizing I could do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't die.
I experienced discomfort.
Die.
Yeah.
I didn't die. I sat in it. It sucked. It hurt. It was mm-hmm. painful, but I got to the other side and now I know that I can trust myself
mm-hmm.
to take action even when it's scary or when it's painful, that I will get to the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the only way that you can trust yourself and build that trust is by doing mm-hmm. and getting hurt
mm-hmm.
and being in discomfort. So I take ice baths every week just to practice being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I do stuff to make myself uncomfortable all the time so that I can always prove to myself that I am strong enough to do anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that when that I'm ready for battle, I love that analogy.
Mm-hmm.
What was that again, that quote? I'm equipped.
I'm unprepared, but I'm equipped.
Mm.
I feel very unprepared.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, and I was talking to my mom about it, or somebody asked me, like, how do you feel? And I was like, I feel very unprepared because I don't know.
That's right.
I've never faced that season in my life because it's new. And that's okay. I'm not scared because I'm equipped.
That's right.
I'm not afraid of it because I'm equipped. But I'm not fully prepared because I don't know. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. I don't have to know.
Yeah.
It's not for me to know. You know what I'm saying? It's just for me to go through.
Yeah.
The only thing that's certain is that nothing's certain.
Yeah.
Right. That's it's what people like, life is so unfair. I'm like, it's fair because it's unfair to everyone. So it's
it's very fair. Yes.
It's unfair to everybody.
And
so
it looks differently for everyone. And that's okay. That's why you have to, I like what you say. Like, I do stuff to make myself uncomfortable because it places you in a position to always kill your ego.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take yourself out of a lot of things and taking like I was talking about the other day, I was like, I'm no longer going to be offended by other people's experience. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why am I offended by mm-hmm. something that you're doing or your life? That doesn't mm-hmm. make any sense. But I think that that's good to, like, it also puts you in a practice to kill your ego.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then when you focus, like for me, when I focus on what I want in my life and the purpose I feel like God has for me, then my focus is on that. And it doesn't matter how uncomfortable I am because that's my purpose. So mm-hmm. I take my ego out of it and I'm driven by what I feel like God has placed me here to do.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how uncomfortable I am.
Yeah.
What are you sitting here to do?
Yeah.
That's
focus
right.
on that.
That's right.
And so
right.
practicing, I love that, practicing things that make you uncomfortable, killing, the Bible talks about crucifying your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You see
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Like when you do that and mm-hmm. you make a practice about it, you take the ego out of it. And my mom told me a quote that somebody told her, she was asking him about pride and ego, and he said, "You can't kill a dead man." Mm. Mm. If I crucify my flesh daily, I remove my ego, I take out my pride, nothing you say can offend me.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm not offended by nothing that you say. You can't hurt me.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
This is I'm a spirit-led first person. Right. You can't, I'm not, you can't make me mad. You can't hurt me.
And one of the biggest reasons people don't take action on what they want or their purpose or what they know that they're supposed to do is because they're so scared of what other people are going to think of
about
them.
Or say about it.
Or say about them. But here's the thing. The fastest way to kill the ego is to remember that it's not about you.
It's not about you.
It's about the other person.
Attached to it.
It's about the impact that you're making. So I just try to think about every day. I'm like, H-O-P-E, help one person every day. If I can just think about it, because, you know, we all have an ego. Mm-hmm. It exists in all of us. We all get into that mode of thinking about for at least a few minutes, what's someone going to think if I say that? Yep. What's someone going to think of, like, the way I look or the way I sound or the way I whatever? We're humans, and that's natural and normal. Yeah. But the faster that you can flip it and get out of that ego and realize, oh, that's my ego, think about how I'm impacting other people. I'm going to think about the people I'm talking to, the relationships I'm making, how I can help one person every day. It takes me out of it. It's not about me.
Yeah.
Yep. And that makes everything, it makes the action taking so much easier. And that's, like, that's why some people can take action and some people are frozen.
Yeah. And you think about it, though. Think about the people that we love the most, that we're not idolized. No one should idolize anybody. But the people that we're, like, so inspired by the most, those are people who didn't
Chris Brown.
Chris Brown. Michael Jackson. They didn't care what people thought about them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whitney didn't care what people thought about. She got on that stage with a wet lip and didn't care. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what people think about. Prince didn't care what people thought about him. You know what I'm saying? The people that we love, them. She had a wet lip.
Said with a wet wig and sweat.
She said, never mind. I ain't going to go into that.
Ricky, Bobby. Jesus.
Or maybe they did care because we don't know what was going on in their mind.
She cared about
it. Maybe she did care.
Betty, you really trying to be prophetic. Whitney did not care with her wet lip. Don't do the greatest. That's ridiculous. She didn't care. She asked for a towel numerous times.
She didn't. She was on that stage and she didn't care. Whitney's lip was wet every stage. And I didn't care because none of us care because she could sing. She's the greatest. She delivered.
If she wasn't sweating, we weren't happy.
Well, you can't listen. If that lip wasn't wet, let me tell you, there was no goosebumps. So let me tell you what. She needed that wet lip, and we appreciate that. And she didn't care. That's what I'm saying. No one cared. She didn't care. You just be yourself and be great. And that's why they have the impact, a global impact that they have. You know what I'm saying? Because they didn't care what people thought about them. That's important. Kanye West, another example.
True.
Doesn't care what people think. That man has a global impact that we won't even know the extent of that until way after he's gone.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? Just not caring what people think.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about Kanye was I watched that documentary on HBO.
Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, on when Netflix? It wasn't on HBO, it was on Netflix. When he walked into all of those offices
and just
started rapping.
And they were literally like, Kanye, I'm sick of this.
Like, he didn't care. He's like, I'm here. No, listen to this. He didn't
care.
So dope.
He didn't care to embarrass himself either. And that's another thing. He didn't have any pride.
Yeah.
When it came to his purpose.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm sure he dealt with pride. We all deal with pride. Yeah. But when it came to his purpose, he's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care if I look crazy. Yep. I don't care if nobody agrees with me.
I was just about to say that. I don't care if you disagree with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's another thing that I feel like with this platform too is a thing that we're always going to have to, you know, be mindful about because there are certain things that I feel like God will call you to do that is so contrary to the trending
thing. Of course.
And you just have to do it.
Man.
Because he called you to do it. He didn't call everybody to do it.
That's right.
You know, that's important. That's right. And there's only one of you. And if somebody else can do it, then why would he need you to do it?
Man.
Why would I use you? If I told everybody to do it, what do I need you to do it for?
Man.
I told you to do it. And sometimes you got to be so mindful and committed to that it doesn't matter how embarrassed I am.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Nobody agrees with me. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I know within me, I know that I'm supposed to do this, no matter what. That's that thing. And that's a hard, in this climate, I feel like that's very hard.
Especially in this generation, in this world, hard. And this, man, being all that being canceled shit. You say one thing. We've already been,
Really?
We 3 months in. There's already been controversial topics and stuff. And
still, to this day.
They're making commenting. YouTube, you know, it's like, Lord. But we feel like we're walking in our purpose. And we're not always right. We're not saying that, but... You know, the door is always open for dialogue, you know.
You're having the conversation. You're having the conversation that some people are scared to have. You know, and that's how you're going to create impact. Not by just like playing it safe all the time. And saying what everybody wants you to say. And being like the perfect version of what you're supposed to be out there. Like that's not the type of person, like you said, like Whitney Houston, Kanye West, Michael Jackson. What do they all have in common? Well, that they're like the greatest performers of all time that will leave a legacy forever and ever and ever, but also that they were not scared to say how they feel be themselves and you know, and do the thing, even if like
walk in their truth,
no one likes it, and you know, walk into the office and just be like, I don't care if you're not gonna listen to me, I'm gonna rap right now.
That's crazy.
Rap. I don't care.
Megan has always been like a huge Kanye fan, and after I told her, after I watched that, I was like, I get what you've been saying.
I get it.
I get it.
I have a question for you, Jen, and I know we're getting ready to wrap up soon. What, so you've been manifesting for a really long time, and I feel like, you know, the way you articulate yourself, you're like, wow, she's perfect. I mean, you live this beautiful life of manifestation. You've been able to get all the things you want. But tell me what the work currently is. Like, what's something that you're challenged with? Like, because we all have to... Once I feel like I'm developed in one area, then God shifts me and I'm like, damn, I feel like I'm learning all over again. Or there's a new challenge. Or so tell me, what is something that you feel like you're not struggling with, but like, you know, what's a challenge for you right now, even while you have all of these tools to manifest?
I've got all these tools, but I forget the tools all the time. That's why I just, we're showing B, I just got a new, my very first tattoo on my wrist. It says time. Cause I need this reminder that time never stops. I forget, I get in my head, I get in my ego. I'm human. I'm not perfect, by the way, at all. My journey's not been perfect, but I'm so grateful for all the imperfect, messy parts and the parts and times that were the darkest that we haven't even touched on because they've helped me to be resilient today and be like, I'm armed. I know, like I can be uncomfortable. I can fall on my face and I can get back up. But right now, to answer your question, what I'm working for is I'm not even close to being where I want to be. Not even I'm like just scratching the surface. This is like, I just like not even there. But you know, now I told you one of my biggest goals is to be the greatest motivational speaker of all time. And right now I'm speaking on all these stages and it's all men. And that's it's all guys. And that's great for me because I stand out and I've got a great, you know, okay, I'm like the only woman that's doing this right now. But I feel a really big responsibility now, and to be kind of the first in this space to really break through and be the woman that's the motivational speaker on stage with all the guys. And part of me like loves that so much. But part of me is like, okay, I got a job to do here and I've got a lot of responsibility here. And I know that I need like my 10,000 hours of practice also. So here's the thing about, I used to be on Broadway and performed on stage. You get to do 10 shows a week. You get to try every single night and you're a comedian. You get to feel the beats. You get to feel when the audience laughs. You get to feel, you know, each time you do it, it gets better. And that's what I loved about doing a show every day. Now, when I go speak on stage, I speak once for 30 minutes and then I got to wait 2 weeks before I do it again. And it's like, oh, but I just felt that. I want to do it again now. And I don't get to do it again. So I've got to really like put in the work. Ask a lot of people for help, put myself out there, say, I want to be on that stage. I want to be on the stage, even if it's all guys, even if it's scary. It's a lot of discomfort that I know is coming for me. And I've got my book that I'm writing that's coming out in October. That's scary. Got to ask a lot of people for help to help me promote it. My first book. My first book. So I feel like I'm definitely not there. And there's a lot of discomfort that's now and in my future of kind of paving the way to get there. And I'm excited about it because I know that's just going to arm me more for when I do get there, because it's never going to end.
It's never, it never ends.
And when I get there, I'm going to want to get somewhere else.
Yep.
Right? Because we've got a growth mindset.
Yep.
So it's never like, oh, I'm here. Yay. Now I'm just going to chill.
Yeah.
No, I'm never arriving.
Yep. Yeah. So. Never arrived.
Yeah.
Never arrived.
Never.
Well, before we wrap up, we do two things. We'll get to that real quick. But I do want to, you have time, like maybe a couple more minutes? Yeah. I do want to discuss, because Megan is super advocate for mental health. We talk about that a lot on our platform. Mindset and just what we've been through. Yeah. She's been very open with her mental health issues and process. Yeah. And you talked about your depression, and you went through a whole phase of like your eating disorder, and we don't have to go too deep into that, but just anybody that is listening, how to get out of that dark space and kind of what we talked about with time. I want you to reiterate that. We talked about it off camera, but just your process through that.
Well, I can never sit here and tell anybody how to get out of a depression or eating disorder, because I'm just not equipped to do that, because I'm not a mental health expert, but I did experience a lot of depression in my life. And a severe eating disorder, or severely bulimic. And my healing journey was much different than I'm sure anybody else's healing journey would be, because everybody's journey is different.
Yeah.
But one thing that helps me now, because I feel like we're always needing to use different tools to be able to get through things. And now I can get through things in a healthy way.
Yeah.
And my favorite concept ever is why I tattooed this on my wrist. I didn't go get a tattoo because I wanted a tattoo. Yeah. I got this tattoo because I wanted this word on my body to remind me every single day that time never stops. Mm-hmm. It doesn't freeze. So discomfort is always temporary, no matter what. If you're uncomfortable in an uncomfortable moment, it eventually will pass, eventually. And the more that you can sit in it and embrace the discomfort and feel the discomfort and maybe not have to numb out with whatever you're using to numb out and be in that, the more equipped you are to do it again later, right?
Yeah.
And so it doesn't, it's only temporary. And then the same thing for the good moments.
Right.
So the good moments are also only temporary.
So you have really to live in those too.
Be present.
Yeah.
Experience them so fully. Receive them. And we forget to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time we fully receive an amazing moment and like milk in it and bask in it, number one, that ups our frequency. So we attract more like stuff to us there. And then number two, we're able to remember that we're capable of feeling that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you're in the really dark time, and we will be there.
Mm-hmm.
We will, because that's life. Okay? Life throws red lights at us. It just does. Matthew McConaughey says this in his book. I love his book, because it says that you're going to get red lights no matter what. That's a guarantee. But when you're getting the green ones, like go. Embrace them. Don't make your own red lights. That's just dumb, because they're going to come anyway.
Yeah.
And the more you can really milk the green ones and the good times, the more equipped you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And same with when you get the red ones, the more you can sit in it and experience the discomfort and know that it will end.
Mm-hmm.
You're always going to end up in your bed.
Yep.
Right.
When I work out, you're working out now. So I do this really cool thing. This is like a tool that everybody can use. And this has helped me a lot.
Okay.
And I do it when I exercise. You could do it anytime though. So when we exercise, we feel a lot of uncomfortableness, feel a lot of discomfort. It sucks. You're in it. You're like, I really don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this. This hurts. But that's how you make the magic. That's how you get better. It's how you get stronger. It's how you get fit. So after my workout, every time, no matter what, non-negotiable, I lay down on the mat and I look up at the sky and I say, God, I'm back on the mat again. The time didn't stop. It was uncomfortable, but here I am. I have that. It's over. And if every time you do that, you always have that reminder that it's going to end.
Yep.
So when it's uncomfortable, I'm going to be on the mat in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Right.
Just do it.
Just do it. Because the more you prolong it, the more you're prolonging your healing or your relief.
Breakthrough.
Shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, just get it over with. Just
get it over with.
Get it over with.
Start.
Start.
That's what I used to have a trainer back in Ohio, Brandon, and his wife, Olivia, and he used to tell me, like, he would put, you know, I would have to do back squats or something like that. And I would be like, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I don't want to do it. And he would always say, go before you're ready.
So Chris just got start before you're ready on his arm, and I got time on my head.
Yeah, that's so crazy. Yeah, he would always say, go before you're ready. Just go. Just go. Just do it. You're never going to be ready.
Never.
You're never ready. Yeah. You're never really prepared. Like I said before, you're never really prepared. Yeah. Just go. You've done it before. You can just do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're never really ready. You just got to go for it.
You got to do it to become ready.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, you guys weren't ready to do this podcast. We talked about this. Like, you didn't have it all mapped out. You just started. And the more that you did it, the more ready you got. The more you figured things out
as we go.
Yeah it's important.
I love this conversation. I could talk to you guys all day.
I know you gotta go. I know you gotta come back.
We have to come back. And we always do the two little know for sure. Okay. So what do you know for sure? K-N-O-W. What do you know for sure after this conversation? And what are you saying no to for sure? The two.
All right. So, I mean, this is really part of just the conversation. I know for sure that discomfort is temporary, but growth is permanent.
Mm.
And that's like what I live by. And then what am I saying? No for sure too.
Like N-O for sure.
Yeah. No for sure to inaction.
Good.
In action. I think that just wraps up our whole conversation, right? That's really like, I think.
Take action.
You know what I love is that we kind of thought the conversation, the theme was going to be something different, and then it kind of turned into something else. It's like just, and then it's full circle where it's like this or something better.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. We had all these questions. I still had a few I didn't even ask her, but I was like, well, just let it be organic. We just literally talk and, you know, it trickles down, it snowballs into the next conversation.
Yeah. Well, when you're talking to good people, like, it's just, this is, I love that you guys are doing this.
Thank you.
It's just like people get to listen in on maybe conversations that they wish they could have with their friends.
Yeah.
And maybe this will initiate.
It does.
Conversations.
That's exactly what it does.
I was telling her that. I was like, we were just like, the private conversations that we're having, people need to hear this. Because it touches us when we're talking. We're like, we need to share this with the world. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm so glad you're doing it.
You know,
it's going to help thousands of people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And whatever, you know, is meant to be said on, we don't really plan every little piece of the conversation.
Yeah.
Because I do believe that whatever God needs to get to whoever is out there, it will happen.
Good.
And I believe that y'all touched on something that is going to touch somebody out there.
I agree. I think this is really powerful.
Yeah.
You want to do your know for sure?
What do I know for sure? I know for sure what I said earlier. I'm walking into a season in my life where I am very unprepared, but I feel very equipped. And I'm saying no to, what am I saying no to? I am saying no to being offended by other people's experience. That is like huge for me right now. Mm-hmm. It's like, literally.
Do you?
Like, honestly,
that
like,
be my
it
first
just,
step.
Like, least. Like, I cannot, least. Like, that has nothing to do with me. And and why am I so prideful that I think that your actions are specifically about me?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, who am I?
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing that.
That's good.
Wait.
No, for sure. I know for sure manifestation works. I've done it. I've experienced it. And like I said, it's just faith with adding the work, you guys. Mm-hmm. So just have the faith, have the belief, and start. I'll go back to The Secret, just in case nobody knows. The Secret, The Law of Attraction, it's on Netflix. You can watch it. And it's super, super dope. No, for sure. I'm saying no to not being committed to my regimen. Like, I am really about to, like, I haven't made a vision board in a while. I haven't really, like, gone into the depths of my manifestation, my affirmations. I've been doing that lately, but, like, making it, like, I brush my teeth every day. I get ready every day. I put on clothes every day. I have to do my regimen every day. Like, I have to commit to doing that. So, you know, just getting in the, I'm saying no to not committing to that.
Okay.
Like my affirmations, my morning, like I feel so good when I do that, you know, setting the intention for the day. So, yeah.
Great.
That's my no.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming, Jen.
Thank you so much. You were so great. You guys follow her. Tell them your social media.
Yeah.
Instagram at Jen_Gottlieb. Just go there and you'll find all the things from there.
Everything
stems from that.
Thank you. Another episode of the Know For Sure podcast. I'm Beast Simone.
Megan Ashley.
And we're out of here. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Know For Sure podcast. Make sure you keep the conversation going and use our hashtag KnowForSurePod.
Yes, we want to see you guys share the hashtag KnowForSurePod on all social media platforms. We want to keep the conversation going.
Keep it going. Go to the website KnowForSurePod.com and follow us on all social media platforms, Instagram and Twitter, KnowForSurePod.